Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The best butchers around. Don't forget to pick up the fresh deli sides and your favorite local and craft beers. West Bend Sausage Plus has it all. Easy to get to, right off Highway 45 on Highway 33. Open 7 days a week. WestBendSausagePlus.com. Go green and gold.
Hey, this is Mike McGivern for Bayview Shade and Blind. So now I've become the shade and blind expert in my neighborhood. I help one neighbor and she must talk to all of our neighbors. I get asked questions like roller shades or honeycomb shades, horizontal blinds or vertical blinds. Come on now. I tell them all the same. Go to BayviewShadeandBlind.com. Best advice I could give. They're locally owned, family run, sharing a little sunshine since 1926. That's BayviewShadeandBlind.com. Way smarter than me trying to answer those questions.
I'm Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Tim Weiner. I want to tell you about my new podcast, Whirlwind. The story of the long covert struggle between Russia and the United States. We're talking to CIA directors, KGB spies, and international experts to learn about the political warfare of the past and connect it to what's happening today. Listen to Whirlwind on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2 Wauwatosa. The Green Bay Packers are 2-0. Sunday night, the Packers take on the Saints in primetime. We're talking Packers football on The Fan. Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, Joey Votto homered for his first hit all season against the Brewers. Trevor Bauer was dominant on short rest, and the Reds won a pivotal series for a playoff contention. As they beat the Brewers 6-1 on Wednesday night, the Reds now in position for a wild card playoff berth after they take 2-3 from the Crew. They've won 9 of their last 11. Meanwhile, the Brewers, a game out of it, the wild card spot that is, they begin a 5-game series to close the season with the St. Louis Cardinals. Corbin Burns gets the ball in game one. He's 4-0 this season. NBA action last night, Tyler Hero scored a Heat rookie record 37 points as the Miami Heat beat the Celtics 112-109 in game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler scored 24 points. Goran Dragic added 22, and Bam Adebayo had 20 and 12 to help the Heat take a 3-1 series lead. Packers continue to get set for their Week 3 matchup with the Saints. Kickoff on Sunday Night Football will be 7:20. We'll have postgame coverage to follow here on The Fan with Bill Michaels and former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. More NFL news. A Los Angeles Charger team doctor accidentally punctured quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff last Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. While he did not make the start, Justin Herbert unexpectedly did. Tyrod Taylor, unavailable this week. Read more online at 1057FMTheFan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 1057FM The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app and favorite The Fan today. Coming up, we got a commercial-free hour of the Bart Winkler Morning Show. We'll be talking some Packers Saints, and we hear from Mike Clements, 9:30 a.m. here on The Fan.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for The Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
keep asking these big picture questions, but it's that time of year now. How do you view this series coming up in St. Louis? I mean, this is it.
Yep. This is it.
Craig Counsell last night, stonewalling Todd Rosiak from the Journal Sentinel. My boy Todd, that's a bummer. But hey, sometimes you get more out of a lack of an answer than you do out of a full answer. And what you get there was Craig Counsell seems to be a little frustrated with where his team's at. They lose yesterday 6-1. They are out of the playoffs right now if they were to end today. They're not ending today, but they are ending in a few days. Brewers have 5 games over the next 4 days against the Cardinals. Winning the series is imperative. Winning 4 of 5 is probably just short of necessary. Still a lot of teams that they can bounce out of one of these wild card spots or even where the Cardinals are at second in the division. You obviously need the Cardinals to lose, Brewers playing them, so that at least they have something to do about it. You want the Phillies to lose. It wouldn't hurt if the Marlins lost. You want the Giants to lose. You want the Reds to lose. So there's some teams that you got to scoreboard watch. MLB playoffs are a little convoluted this year. The tiebreakers are insane. The Cardinals still may have to make up some games against Detroit on Monday if necessary, which it probably will be. So you could think the Brewers are in and the Cardinals could sweep the Tigers in a doubleheader. They could be out. That could be an interesting scenario if that plays out. You know, we've had a very productive show in terms of we've talked about a lot of stuff. Bucks, Packers. It feels like so long ago. We spent most of the 6 o'clock hour, our first hour on the air today, once I popped in after Ryan Horvath's pregame show. An incredible show. And I want to thank you again. A lot of promotion for the 6 to 10 window in your 5 to 6 window.
For sure, dude.
It really helps
You're welcome, buddy.
Set the table for the day. Because that's a big responsibility for you. You're here first.
I'm like the Marquise Grissom of the fan, you know, the leadoff man.
Yeah, you got to set the table for the day. A lot going on today. The On Deck show coming up tonight. Mike Wickett and Doug Russell are two names we can say on the station again because they are back.
Russell, Doug.
And they are back with Bill for the Bill Michaels Huddle, which is
I may not even watch Thursday Night Football.
But, well, I think I'm going to tape it.
Probably the best decision. Or maybe put it on mute.
I think I'm going to tape it. Because I want to, you know, as I was telling you yesterday, I have better than 20/20 vision. I actually have 20/10 vision.
Oh.
I actually have superior eyesight than most commoners.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
And I've been pretty, you know, I've kept that one close to the vest. But I feel, I'm not ashamed of it. I have a superpower. I have 20/10 vision. I can see what you see 20 yards away, 20 feet away, however it is. I can see at 10. I can read better than anybody. I have a superior eyesight. So what I'm saying is my senses are heightened. So if I'm listening to the huddle tonight, I don't want to also be watching something. It's a little bit of sensory overload. So I'm just going to be radio.com app. Again, I'm going to make a nice bath. I'll draw a bath. Light some candles. I'll listen to Bill and Doug and Mike.
All right.
And that'll be from 7 to 9 tonight.
So that's the plan.
That is the plan. And then I'll hop out of the tub all wrinkled up, and then I'll go and hit the DVR and watch some of Dolphins and the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. We got some Western Conference Finals tonight as the Lakers look to go up 3-1 and the Nuggets look to even that series at 2 games apiece. I'm jacked for that. You think LeBron gets it done tonight?
I think I do, but it's hard to bet against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
At this point. Lakers are a 6-point favorite. Nuggets, nothing phases them anymore. How could it? They've gone through every obstacle and every challenge that you could. They've come back from 3-1 twice. So I think they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves. So certainly a lot going on. And I want to tell you a little bit about the unluckiest team in sports. Because amidst all this, I think there is a college football game tonight. UAB and South Alabama, I think, play tonight, if I have that right. But one of the teams that we've kind of been following is Houston, the Houston Cougars. So last Friday, they were supposed to play on Friday night against Memphis. And it was going to be the only college game that night, so we were going to tune it in. That got canceled. Within 18 hours, they figured out, well, Baylor doesn't have a game. Let's play them. Normally, it takes these colleges, you know, they schedule these games 17 years in advance. But you've got this situation where Houston and Baylor were able to come up with
a game within 18 hours. That ended up getting canceled too. So here's what Houston was supposed to do. September 3rd, they were supposed to play Rice. That was their season opener. Rice said, not going to happen.
Yeah.
The 12th, they were supposed to play Washington, and that was canceled because there's no Pac-12.
Right.
So then they were supposed to play Memphis. All right, that was on the schedule. That got postponed because of an outbreak in Memphis. And then they rescheduled one with Baylor, and that got postponed too. So their opener, their season opener, was now going to be this weekend against North Texas. And now that got canceled because of contract tracing at North Texas. And now their next attempt for their first football game, the Houston Cougars, will be October 8th against Tulane after having really five dates that were already postponed. And this is the way that college football is going this season. Notre Dame and Wake Forest, that got called off. That's going to be rescheduled for the weekend of December 12th. But, you know, I see this Badger schedule out again, and I watch what's happening in college football, and there's like five, six postponements every week. I wouldn't be so confident making those plans around the Badger Saturdays right now.
See, that's the problem I have with the college football season is, you know, you don't know if these games are actually going to take place. So it's hard to get excited for something. And then Thursday rolls along and you find out, you know, these schools are supposed to be in communication with each other all week, but just a couple positive tests and that game gets called off. So, you know, for example, I was excited to watch Notre Dame Wake Forest this weekend. And then I find out a couple days ago that game is off. So I want to talk about this with you because I feel like almost the Big Ten screwed themselves and backed themselves into a corner. Because they've given themselves, like, no, so they're going to begin the season, and they want to get into the college football playoff. But they're just playing every week with no bye week. And so, let's say this is, happens to the Badgers, you know, or let's say this happens to Ohio State, and there's five positive tests, and you have to postpone that game that week. Well, when are you making that up? You're not going to be able to get into the college football playoff. Like, the reason they're trying to get this season going is because they want to be included in the college football playoff. But they've kind of backed themselves into a corner here because they're not giving themselves a whole lot of leeway. Like, if somebody tests positive, they don't have the ability to reschedule a game because the committee is going to make their selection for the four teams to get in. And so I think that the Big Ten kind of screwed themselves here.
Well, that's unfortunate. You know, now that you bring it up that way,
yeah,
you look at the Big Ten and – it was the second week of August. They said we're not going to have a season. Maybe that was too early to make that determination, but they made a determination where they put the safety of their students, they put the safety of their athletes first. And they've been criticized for putting safety first much more than the conferences that are playing have been criticized for going ahead with it. Now, the Big Ten made a decision based on safety. Whether you think it was too early or it was done sloppily, you can have those opinions. But they made a decision based on safety. That is a fact. That's a fact. The other conferences, the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC, did not make those decisions. They made a decision. They decided that they were going to play. And they were going to take the steps necessary to still think it was safe.
Like, let's look at the Badgers.
You can pull that up. I have a really excellent point here about the Big Ten that I'm making.
I actually didn't realize my mic was on there. Sorry.
Really? You talk to yourself?
What? Yeah, because like I'm trying to figure out how this would work if they had the positive cases.
All right, let me finish. I'm almost done here. I'm almost on the halfway point of this take. So with the Big Ten, now because you made a decision based on safety, and you theoretically did the right thing, you're getting punished for doing the right thing. Because now, if you want to be in the college football playoff, you have to get on everybody else's schedule. You have to get on the ACC schedule, SEC schedule, Big 12 schedule, instead of all being on one schedule if there was some overarching president that made a decision for all the conferences. So now to get into their party, you have to cram in these games. They have time to cram in games. We're seeing it. Notre Dame, Wake Forest, can't play this weekend. Let's play in December, the week before the championship weekend, and then the weekend before the college football playoff is determined. The Big Ten's got to rush that all in. So they're the conference that tried to be the trendsetter and said, hey, guys, we're going to go this way. We're going to go the safety route. Everyone else went the different direction and said,
while we're still going to do the testing and be safe, football is the priority. Getting these games on the field is the priority over everything. And now the Big Ten, who is already all the way down this path that they're on, now they have to like take a shortcut and rush over through the woods to get to the other path that's already being taken. Then you got the Pac-12 way over there. They might not start till November. They're out. They're done. If college football would have just said, hey, let's play an 8-game schedule in the spring, because now you're playing an 8-game schedule in the fall, and it's, you know, the whole thing, all of this sucks. We get it. But it's just, I wish there was a more uniform way to determine this in college football, and there's not. And so now the Big Ten's being penalized. The Big Ten is being penalized for trying to do the right thing, and that's a bummer.
See, and that's what I wonder, like, with the Big Ten president and with the people that are in charge. Were they like, hey, you know what? I feel like, okay, so there's a lot here. Like, I feel like the Big Ten has to be extremely pissed off, not only at the NCAA, but at the SEC, you know, and all these other conferences that the Big 12 that have decided to play. Because it was an agreement that they all came to, that college football was going to be moved to the spring or was just not going to happen this year. They all agreed on this for the safety. And then the SEC started to get the backlash. And then it became political. Let's not act like it didn't become political. And then the money got involved, a lot of lost revenue. So the SEC decided to play football, right? And the Big 12 decided to play football and some of these other conferences. The Big 10 then, you know, they were like, well, we deemed that this wasn't safe, man. Like, we're trying to protect these kids. But then they started to get the backlash from Clay Travis Nation. You know, well, the Big 10's a bunch of wimps. They were losing recruits. They're losing out on a bunch of money. They're going to see these other teams in the college football playoff, and they're like, we got to get ourselves in there. So I think what they're doing is they're like, they're like, hey, you want football? Here you go. Figure it out. You know, because, like, for example, we'll use Wisconsin's schedule. They open up October 24th against Illinois. Okay? And then they decide to do this the right way to give them another week. Like, they're not playing they're not playing another game than the 24th, so the 31st. They're not playing a game on Halloween. It would go the 24th of October. The next game would then be held November 7th against Purdue. The game after that then would be on the road against Northwestern on the 21st. So I get what they're doing there. I mean, especially with the limited schedule, you kind of had to do that. You know, you're not playing any non-conference opponents. But the problem is, like, yeah, that works where you play a game here on the 24th. Let's say on the 25th, you have three positive tests. You would think that these kids would all be cleared by November 7th, but that's not what we're seeing. We've seen this at LSU. You could have three or four positive tests like Notre Dame did, you know, or you could see teams like we've already seen have to cancel multiple games in multiple weeks because these tests just keep popping up.
Houston again.
Thank you.
Fifth time trying to figure out if they're going to play their first game.
So let's say you play this game on the 24th. All right. Let's say you don't have a positive test or you don't realize that you got some positive kids until the 1st or the 2nd of November. And then you got to delay this game against Purdue. But then how do you make that up? Because on the 21st, you're playing Northwestern. So they want to get into the college football playoff, but I feel like, I want to enjoy Big Ten football. I'm not trying to, like, this isn't the war on football or anything, but we're just seeing these games being postponed already. Like, we're not making the decision. I didn't cancel Notre Dame's game. But it's going to be really hard to get this in. I would give it, honestly, 30-70, 30% shot that they get all these games in, man. This is just, I don't see how it happens.
You know what else? We need to look down the road and try to play this out a little bit. Let's say the Big Ten has an 8-game schedule and Wisconsin wins all their games.
Yeah.
And then they beat Ohio State, okay, in the Big Ten championship. Well, now they're 9-0. Clemson's going to win the ACC.
Oh, God, yeah. Nobody, they may not give up a point the rest of the year.
Let's say there's an undefeated champ in the Big 12.
Give me Oklahoma.
And then let's say the SEC comes down to like Bama.
LSU.
And LSU.
Yeah.
Are they're in the same conference?
They were supposed to actually play last weekend, man. That was going to be the primetime matchup. Right.
I'm saying, let's say there could be a scenario where there's an 11-0 SEC champion and a 10-1 SEC championship game loser. Game's close. Committee looks at those two teams and says, well, they're still better than Wisconsin.
I don't think they could do that, though.
The Big Ten could do all this and still not get in.
The SEC is going to play three more games than the Big Ten.
So the example is Wisconsin's the undefeated team, not Ohio State?
Yeah, and because they're our team.
See, I don't think...
Ohio State ain't getting screwed. The Big Ten is doing this for Ohio State.
Exactly, and I got to be honest, man. Nobody's beaten Ohio State this year. There's not a team in the Big Ten that could beat Ohio State. Ohio State's going to be better this year than they were last year. Fields is ridiculous. He's going to be the second quarterback taken right behind Trevor Lawrence. Actually, I don't know about that anymore. I like the kid, Sam Howell out of North Carolina. He's really good, too. Three really good quarterbacks. Glad the Packers got Jordan Love. Sorry.
Hey, that was sarcasm. That was sarcasm, Ryan.
I was kidding. I love the pick. I want this to happen, man. But again, I was hoping for better results to start the season. You know, especially like if you look at the Notre Dame situation. So then they played the game. So now Central Florida has actually, or South Florida, I'm sorry. I always confuse the two. They've already canceled this week's game because they haven't had a positive test yet. But they've had somebody, I think, come down with symptoms, I want to say. And now they have to monitor these kids because they just got done playing Notre Dame. And what started as like two cases is now seven, is going to come eight. And the problem with this all is also there's like, you don't really know what's going on with some of this crap. Because at Notre Dame, you're hearing that there's four players that tested positive and none of them actually even saw any game action. That these are like redshirt freshmen, third string, fourth string, but they travel with the team. And let's say they have the positive cases, but nobody that's actually going to play on the field. Then you got the kids that are going to play, they're going to be pissed off because all these bench warmers are the ones testing positive. But there's too much liability. And that was the problem with college football coming back. These kids don't get paid. The NFL guys are going to test positive. There's going to be positive tests of COVID. But like, they're being paid. That's their profession. These are college kids that aren't getting paid. Well, not all of them, unless you go to Alabama. Also sarcasm.
my take here is I feel bad for the Big Ten for trying to do the right thing.
They backed themselves into a corner. It was either play to start. It was either when the SEC and all the other conferences announced they were coming back, you went back with them, or you did sit out until the spring and you said goodbye to the college football playoff.
414-799-1250. More on where you guys want to take the show. We put up an interesting poll earlier regarding would you rather have Tyler Hero or Chris Middleton. Granted, we are asking this poll. I know at first we're like, oh, we put up a poll and no one was criticizing us. Well, now we're getting criticized for wanting to criticize Chris Middleton. That's not what we're doing. We're asking you. We are asking Bucks fans. We are asking you, would you rather on the Bucks have a guy who's played well for a month and had a 37-point game last night and it's fresh in your minds, or would you rather have a guy who is an all-star, who we think is an elite player, and it's 50-50 with a couple hundred votes? It's 50-50. So don't blame us for asking the question. We're just asking you, would you rather have a guy who has been an all-star for 2 years now and is an integral part of this team as a max player, or would you rather have a guy who's from the area and had 37 points last night? And 50-50 is the determination from where you guys are going. So that's interesting.
Okay, I was on the phones. 50-50 now?
It's 50-50.
I can't even check the poll question because WNAM is retweeting like everything that is going on for some reason. Hold on.
Who is they're one of Bill Michaels' affiliates.
I know, so everything that they tweet,
everything that
Joe
Bill tweets,
retweeted.
They retweet. It's some awful...
No, great station.
RSS feed from like, well, no, the great station, of course.
Yeah.
But their Twitter account is like an RSS feed from when the internet first started.
Keeps going on and on. Here it is. So who would you rather? Oh my gosh. Okay. We're back to normal here. 50% Middleton, 49% Hero. Yeah. And then there's like people like, dumb question, blah, blah, blah. We both said Middleton.
Yeah.
We're asking you, and is it that dumb of a question when 49% of you have voted for Tyler Hero?
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's how I laid it out. Middleton, two-time All-Star, max player, or guy that scored 37 last night.
Second-team All-Rookie team, right? Did he even make the first-team All-Rookie team?
And you guys, 50-50, are going with the local kid. Mike's on the south side. What's up, Mike?
Oh, my God, I love this show, man.
It's pretty great, yeah.
Looking at five pages of my takes, but You know, Rick took a lot of time, so I won't take a lot.
If Rick gets 5 minutes, you get seven. That's my rule as show producer.
Well, I'm not picking on Rick, but having a vaccine and working on a vaccine, that's two different things. Either have it or you're working on it.
Okay.
I don't know why the Bucks think they can get Tyler Hero.
They don't. No, they don't.
Oh, they don't.
The Bucks don't think they can get Tyler Hero.
Miami has seen Chris.
We'll be lucky if we get Gallinari.
Miami, we couldn't get Chris Hero. Chris Middleton play, so a phone call, Chris Middleton for Hero, that ain't happening.
No, David Hero from Great Lakes Championship Wrestling has a better chance of wearing a Bucks jersey next year than Tyler Hero.
He's got a nice jumper.
Then, just a couple more takes. I love the noon game, but I have a car show Sunday, so 7 o'clock works for me.
Are you running the car show?
No, I go to Hot Rod Car Shows.
Oh.
32 last year, but I only 8 because of the problem this year.
Yeah.
And I think I was watching the Raging Cajuns play someone.
Hell yeah.
Maybe Brigham Young.
They were getting smoked.
Hey, don't sleep on Brigham Young. They beat the Badgers.
That's true. So did Illinois.
Am I wrong? Did I see fans?
Yeah.
There's been fans. I think Florida State had fans.
So most universities, a lot of them are doing where alumni can't even go, but if you got a kid on the team, and then students could go. So students could go socially distanced, and then if you got a kid on the team, you're able to go, and that's most colleges. Some are, you know, it depends where you're at.
So they figured it out. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers' brother,
well,
I go to Lambeau?
If he invites you, they haven't talked in a while.
You know, I thought the luxury boxes, they let people in there because it's all enclosed. You're separated.
Well, I think they wanted to be, okay, this is insane. We're going to have 2 games with no fans, and then by the time it's November 1st, their 3rd game, they're going to see what other stadiums are doing. I would anticipate we see fans at Lambeau at some point.
Oh, I have no doubt. Well, like I said the other day, a Super Bowl without fans, but they'll figure that out. And then my last take, I never pick on callers, but, you know, the Brewers have pitching. Woodruff, Burns, Suter, Williams, Hader. The side armor, I forget his name. Vogelbach?
We have a player, Vogelbach. You might be thinking
Lincoln. He throws a weird sidearm. Anyway, Peralta. It's what happened this year. There's no offense. Kane bowed out. Yelich is not MVP form. Braun plays twice a week, you know. If we had a regular season, I think they wouldn't go far in the playoffs. Anything else you need?
No, that was pretty good. I was just going to ask you, anything else you want to say?
Hey, let me see here.
Did you jot these down?
Here's a weird question. Would you trade...
You take notes during the show? I like this.
I'm looking at 5 pages.
Mike,
I like you, Mike.
Well, you guys changed my take.
No, throw this trade my way, though. I love this.
I listened, 4 hours.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you should try 5, actually. We start at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I know. That's when I tuned in.
Oh, thank you. Nice. I'm just making sure.
5-hour Mike? What, is that a good name for you?
And I'll leave you with this.
Yeah.
Would you trade Jordan Love for Taysom Hill?
I would trade Jordan Love for P.J. Hill.
I don't know that I would. I mean,
who's P.J. Hill?
I think he played basketball 13 years ago.
He was in the G League for a little bit.
Do you think New Orleans would trade Taysom Hill for Jordan Love?
I don't think so.
That's a good question. Sean if New Payton Orleans would.
Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
New Orleans would. Yeah, they use him
the way I love my son.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys maybe tomorrow or next day.
Yeah, tomorrow would be good. We're doing Packer predictions tomorrow. If you got one, let us know. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't do that, but. You guys are part sportsbook. You know all that stuff. I don't put money down.
You're smart, man. I put money down in Korean baseball. My team had a 7-run lead and somehow lost by 5. So.
Well, I told you I'm a huge Packer fan, but I put $1,000 on the Rams and the Pack.
Nice.
For one of them to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So, yeah, don't sleep on the Rams.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, later.
See you, Mike.
I remember, he was big on the Rams, which is looking like a decent play for him.
Yep, him and I.
Speaking of Ram, this guy's name is Ram. Ram!
Morning, Bart!
Hey, we're getting Clem Dog here in a minute, so I'll give you a little bit of time.
Got 4 minutes.
Let me
maybe 120 seconds.
All right. Ooh, damn. Clock starts now.
Yeah. Tyler, I saw him play in his sophomore year in Madison State Tournament, dropped 45. If you just want to talk about skill set, it's not even close. It's not even close. I mean, if you get picked 13 in the draft versus 40, all these GMs are looking at you. You got to go with the talent and the skill set. And we watching him develop. He's doing this as year one, and Middleton couldn't even get on the court in Detroit. And they sent him to the D League. And we saw what he did to the Bucks in the playoffs. So I think it's a no brainer. I mean, when you talk about what we need like right now, and I mean this guy's hitting clutch shots, contested. But what I'm hearing about Milwaukee, he did a lot of work at Hillside, and I know some of the trainers that work with him, and he's doing this stuff like since he was like fifth, sixth grade. And I just don't think Middleton has put the work in. I just don't see it. He's taller, and sometimes in basketball, players who are tall, if you're the tall kid in high school, college, they're going to come to you. They don't necessarily mean that you're going to put the extra work in, you know, to do that. But last night was a testament. I mean, that was a clutch game. You know, it wasn't like no pushover game, and he was like the third option. I mean, he was going to getting it. And I don't know. I think you get a lot of callers calling. They're really Packer fans. But they really don't know basketball.
I don't know. Bucks season, a lot of you guys know what's up, man.
I don't know. I've been listening to some of these calls. I've been listening to this show for years. And when it comes to an assessment and eye test, no, they don't. Now, on football side, yeah, they do know. But, you know, as a coach and trainer, and I've been doing this for like 20, 25 years, I can look at a player, watch them play two or three games. I could pretty much tell you, like, where they're at and what they really want to do. But one thing I will say about Tyler goes to the conflict to get the ball. He's not running away and passing off. I mean, he's taking the ball to the rack and has done it several times. And I have not seen that in Middleton's game. And he's been with the Bucks for a long time now. And, yeah, he's an all-star. But the question would be for you and Ryan is, would Middleton be an all-star without Giannis?
Well, hopefully we don't have to find that out. I'm going to avoid answering because we're going to get to Mike Clemens. That was right. 150 seconds, Ram.
150 seconds?
Yeah. I gave you that free 30.
All right. I posted this in one of my chat rooms. I just want to see what the response is going to be.
All right. It's a good question. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Ram, 414-799-1250. So certainly covering a lot from college football to the Brewers to the Bucks. The NBA continues, the Stanley Cup, Tampa Bay with a win. Definitely a lot going on. We focus now for the next few minutes on the Green Bay Packers with our own Mike Clemens, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Let's get the latest from Green Bay from Mike Clemens, brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans.
Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Just wanted to let the music be extended a little bit.
It's a good song.
Mike, we cannot play Davante Adams' cuts.
I had Matt LaFleur and Sean Payton. Any of those?
No, I can play everything but Davante.
Yes. Oh, everything but Davante. Okay.
Very good. They're, I guess, some malware thing.
Okay.
But here, let's start this. Let me use the radio.com rewind. Mike Clemens about to join us. Mike Clemens on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's going to be an interesting battle between the Packers and the Saints.
Appreciate what you said about Drew Brees' career. When you see him coming off of two games that are a little subpar by his standard, going into your game, what are some of the thoughts that you have about that?
They're always at the top in the league in almost every category, both in the run and the pass. And then you look at third down scoring, they are there each and every year. So you can never take that for granted, and you can't let your guard down, because as soon as you do, he's going to go out there and dice you and hang 45 on you.
So Matt LaFleur saying the right things about Drew Brees, but I'm watching this guy, Mike, and maybe you've seen the stats. He is not throwing the ball downfield so far through two games, and I don't see the same quarterback that, I mean, obviously he's not the same quarterback he was 10 years ago, but I'm not even sure he was the same quarterback he was 1 year ago.
Right. And, you know, his weapon, Michael Thomas, is out, the wide receiver with what appears to be a high ankle sprain. Did you know that the Saints are going to send him to the renowned surgeon Robert Anderson, who works for who now? The Green Bay Packers.
Actually, yeah, a caller tipped us off on that, actually.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is probably going to be in Green Bay, maybe today, how ironic, to have this ankle looked at. They're looking at maybe a high ankle sprain. Looks like he's going to be out for week three, Sunday night, when the Packers are meeting up with the Saints down the Superdome. I think something else to take a look at this, you know, it's been an exciting 2-0 start for the Green Bay Packers so far, but it's those starts of the games, how Kirk Cousins got out to a lead, and how Matt Stafford and Daryl Bevel, offensive coordinator of the Lions, was carving up the Packers defense. Some run, it was the passing over the middle, the 29-yarder down the right-hand side to T.J. Hockenson, the big tight end, that, you know, has you kind of scratching your head about what Mike Pettine is doing. Why can't he make a statement earlier in these games? And it kind of feels like the overall, you know, the big picture on the Packers are, if they can get the lead, and then Mike Pettine's defense can do what they do best, which is pass rush and go after the quarterback, they can take more risks. But it's not until Rodgers and company can, you know, run up the score a little bit that, you know, that Mike Pettine seems to be able to do. And he's missing Kenny Clark, obviously, on the line. I saw that Everson Griffin, the former Viking, now playing for McCarthy and the Cowboys, had a sack. I still don't think that character-wise that guy would have been any kind of a good addition to that locker room. But the need is on defensive line. Montrevious Adams has had this probably turf toe kind of thing through camp. He was ineffective. He got blown out by the right tackle on that little run that AP had, Adrian Peterson. I mean, he was supposed to hold the edge, and he didn't hold anything. I mean, he just got pushed to the inside, and a 35-year-old Adrian Peterson walking to the sidelines 15, 20 yards down the field. So it's, you know, defense is the needs right now, and that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and Mike Pettine are going to have to try and fix over here over the next couple of games.
The Saints, it was interesting watching them on Monday night. I know they have Taysom Hill. I've been talking about that for years. I didn't realize they had Ty Montgomery. I don't know how that one slipped by me, but it seems like all these like Swiss Army knife type of guys that the Packers had, the Saints are really wanting. And the thing with Taysom Hill, man, so we know, all right, they use him as a quarterback sometimes, and they flank him out. They're using him as a fullback. They're using him as a tight end. It's like Sean Payton, it's a little too gadgety, even for me, Inspector Gadget.
Right. Yeah, Ty Montgomery, you know, he got released by the Ravens and picked up by the Saints. Here's the thing. I mean, it's still a great story that it was 3 years ago now, training camp 2017, and Taysom Hill would come in because they, you know, they still had Brett Hundley back then. And then later they would go to DeShone Kizer looking for a backup to Rodgers, perhaps an heir apparent, and we know, you know, how that played out. But Taysom Hill was lighting up these teams in preseason when he would come into the second half, and we were shocked that Ted, you know, released him and I think tried to put him on practice squad. And the story is that Sean Payton thought the Packers had some guys to look at tight end. He needed a tight end. He was interested in a guy named Max McCaffrey. He put in the tape to watch this guy playing in the second half of a preseason game and said, wait a minute, who's that quarterback? Because he saw the sparks that Taysom Hill had to the Packers' second, third-string offense in those games. So the thing about it is, and, you know, this is kind of the indictment on Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, is like, why didn't you see Taysom Hill as just a potential athlete? Why did you just say, well, this is an average quarterback, and we could put him on the practice squad? Why didn't you see what a guy like Sean Payton said is,
that guy's a great athlete. I mean, we can use him as a gunner. We can use him in the Wildcat and find effective ways to score with this guy. And so we asked Sean Payton about this on the telephone yesterday, about the McCaffrey story and about, you know, do coaches and GMs need to do a better job at looking at guys that are on the pro personnel board and say, we could use this guy in a more creative way?
Yeah, I think in our league, and we're all, I don't want to say guilty of this, but we all pay close attention weekly to what's trending, who's doing what. You look at the teams that are at the top each week, you're paying attention to what they're doing defensively and offensively, and also the player types. The challenge sometimes in doing that is trying to manufacture that player. I just think he's unique, that immediate player to say, oh, this guy is a lot like, and so he's a unique athlete in his size and his speed. I do think it starts with looking for or trying to find players of that skill set. Obviously, we're in that business. I think if there were two of them here or three Taysom Hills here, I kind of feel like we'd have spots to use an athlete like that on the defensive and offensive side of the ball. And so it's a credit to his skill set. There's so much more to it. You know, his toughness, you know, his ability to learn and understand different positions. So we would definitely be in that business when we're looking at athletes like him. And look, it happens occasionally where, you know, he has some injuries in college. You know, Green Bay sees something and they sign him, and again, we kind of fumbled onto him. You know, we were looking at Max, really, and kept watching Max. We had had him in for a workout. We knew we were looking at Max for a practice squad spot, and kind of fell into Taysom. So we were fortunate.
Seems like that happens a lot. The Aaron Rodgers story, you retold that the other day, where they went down to Butte College and they were looking at somebody else, but then they discovered Aaron Rodgers. You just never know who's watching is the thing.
Yeah, the guy from Cal, Tedford, was looking for a tight end, and Craig from Butte said, hey, Aaron, you know, get dressed. I need a quarterback to throw to the tight end, and you might want to get in front of these scouts from Cal, too. And it was after they saw the tape of the tight end, like, wait a minute, who's the kid throwing the football? And that's how Aaron Rodgers got out of Chico and Butte and ended up at Cal, and then a first-round pick. You know, Sean Payton, do you remember now that Ted interviewed him for the head coaching job in 2006?
Yeah, I remember Sean's name for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the week where he brought in his old family friend, Wade Phillips. He was going to bring in a guy named Brad Childers that had coached at Wisconsin, but the airport was fogged in, and so Childers couldn't come in. Meanwhile, the Vikings were talking to him, and they weren't going to let him out of their sight. So they took Brad Childers. You know, the Packers didn't get Brad Childers because of fogged-in conditions. They brought in Sean Payton, smart guy, but Ted Thompson, just like Mike McCarthy, he just thought he was more of a down-earth Pittsburgh guy, you know, Pittsburgh mock show football coach, and that's the way that went. But, you know, Sean Payton's a pretty smart guy. You know, a Bounty Gate aside and Greg Williams and all that, you know, this guy's had a long run with a great quarterback in Drew Brees all these years in New Orleans.
Well, our quarterback Aaron Rodgers is playing much better than Drew Brees in this 2020 campaign so far, and everything just looks crisper with him. He seems to be more on schedule, on target.
He seems to be happier.
He's certainly happier. The stuff from Pat McAfee's podcast where he's like, oh, I just love life, man. Life is so great, man. Life,
you know,
love.
Listen, and I've talked about this before. I've talked about books that he's read that he's told us about. He's constantly doing that. That's actually one of the things that brought him and Danica Patrick together. They're really into that self-help, self-awareness stuff, spiritual things, going to see the Dalai Lama, all those kinds of things. I don't think it's necessarily because he broke up with Danica that he's doing better. Or I think Jordan Love, it was certainly a kick in the pants, looking over your shoulder. I'm hearing stories about Jamal Williams that, you know, Jamal was picked ahead of Aaron Jones when they took those three running backs. Solid dude all these years. But he went into high gear when they used their second-round pick on A.J. Dillon. And the coaches have told other, you know, people in the industry, it's like he's a different dude. He's just more serious. He busted his butt in the offseason, took videos of it, make sure to post that we were seeing it. And Jamal Williams is at his very best in his final year. So, no. Hey, guess what? You draft a guy's replacement, competition is up, and they're going to work a little harder. And Aaron Rodgers is definitely more focused, and he's using these words, love and positivity. You know, he even said he loves Matty LaFleur. So he's focusing on the people that really count, He is totally all in. And in that Lions game, man, once they finally got things settled down, you saw guys wide open, like two different guys wide open. And it seemed like Rodgers has been getting rid of the ball quicker. A lot of that's got to do, thanks to that pre-snap motion. The whole team knows this more complicated offense. They really worked at it in their virtual meetings in the offseason and in those 4 weeks of training camp. And now they've got two, three guys in different motion, and it's opening up secondaries. And we'll see how good they can do it against the Saints the other night. So you ask Aaron, you got some of these wide open targets now. Is it why you know you're moving the ball down the field, or is it because you're getting rid of the ball quicker?
I think it's really the first part. You know, we have guys open, so the ball is able to be dealt a little bit quicker than years past. To answer your question, I don't remember a time in the recent history where we've had, multiple plays where we have guys that are wide open. You know, the difference between maybe college and the NFL is wide open in college is about, 7 or 8 yard separation. Wide open in the NFL is 2 or 3 yards. And we've had some college style guys open the first couple of weeks, and a lot of that's due to the minor schematic changes we made in the offseason, implemented during training camp, and also the execution. I think when you put that all together, you're getting guys open on time, and the ball is able to come out. Obviously, I made a concerted effort to deal it. When I'm playing on time and in rhythm, the offense I think can be more efficient as long as we have guys open. But the two have been really correlated this year. The timing and the rhythm, and guys being open when they need to be open.
One guy that has been open but dropping the pass, and it's weird to see a number 87 do it, is Jay Sternberger. We were on the huddle last week, Horvat and I, and we're trying to figure out, well, when do you worry about Jay Sternberger? And I said, it's a redshirt year last year. He's still working. He's got some guys to learn from. But fundamentally, drops is bad. Drops are bad. You cannot have these drops, and you would like to see that fixed relatively soon, Mike.
Packers had 6 drops in the game against the Lions, 2 by Jay Sternberger. Let's talk about some of the injury situations. You got Davante Adams with a hamstring, didn't practice yesterday, could be day-to-day. Maybe they activate him on Sunday night for the game. Everybody says that that's be okay. Kenny Clark is out with the groin injury. At least he didn't practice yesterday, but I doubt if they get him back in. Good news is center Corey Linsley, who injured his thumb, left the game against the Lions on a snapping hand, was able to practice yesterday, along with Billy Turner, who's been out the last couple of weeks with a knee injury. So he's an option to come back in at right guard now that Lane Taylor's been put on injured reserve. So the other question is Josiah DeGura. I was really, he was like the third or fourth guy in camp, but I really liked what he did in that Vikings game and how well he played, not only as a tight end, as a target, but in blocking. Now, he hurt his ankle in that one, but he was limited yesterday. So we'll see if they get him back on. Robert Tonyan had a catch, a couple of plays. I'm really surprised how much they used DeGura in the game against the Vikings. And then it's supposed to be Jay Sternberger, who, he got his block knocked off in training camp, and then he had another injury last year. And it wasn't until about November, when he practiced every day, that he got his act going. Then he comes into this camp with COVID, and he had symptoms for a couple of weeks. So, and this is a year, man, where you can't miss practice, particularly when you're a kid like this. You miss 2 weeks of practices, you miss a whole lot of time, so you're going to be off schedule. And then they try and scheme him open against the Lions, and he drops that ball wide open in the flats on the right-hand side. Now, the guy that's assigned to fix him is their tight end coach, Justin Uten, and talked about working with Jay Sternberger after those 2 drops against the Lions.
If you look at any player in the National Football League, they're eventually going to have some drops and sometimes bad games. And, everybody, is different with how they progress. And a lot of the guys on this team are rep guys. So the more reps you get, obviously, the better you're going to be. And you kind of see it a little bit better. Walkthroughs are great. Video is great. Putting things on a board is great. But, to do it live is another thing. And just against another breathing human being and not a bag. Those are the things that each and every week and stress every single day to those guys, every rep is gold. You might have 4 reps. You might have 16 reps. Just if you're not in, you're getting a mental rep. Those are the things that count. And then you're not going to have a 3-hour practice. You're not going to be wearing them down. So those mental reps are extremely important. And then when you go in there, you're just trying to build and stack your foundation each and every time. Yeah, the more reps for him, the better. And, you know, we'll see where he goes with it.
Mike, it's a little bit the fans, you know, they're not going to be in attendance, New Orleans. It's not going to be the Superdome.
It's going to be limited. They're going to let some fans in there.
It's not going to be like what we know it.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah, right.
It's a little bit Drew Brees, right. And it's a little bit no Michael Thomas, but I feel good about the Green Bay Packers on Sunday.
Even though I think, though, oddsmakers, they still got the Saints up by 3 in this one, don't they?
Yeah, you know, it's the same home field advantage thing, but I like where the Packers are at right now.
Well, you know, Lions, I think they got to go to Arizona and play the Cardinals. That's a loss. Vikings are going to host the Titans. That's going to be a tough game. Bears go to Atlanta. That's winnable. So, I mean, it's possible by Sunday night. It's still the Bears and Packers 3-0 atop the NFC North.
Mike, appreciate your hard work. We will talk to you on Tuesday.
Thank you, Bart.
Mike Clemens, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. You know, when you listen to the radio, I think one of the things that you like to do is relate to the people that you listen to. And Horvat and I think we're in a pretty relatable age bracket. You know, we're not super young. We're not, you know, dinosaurs. Someone did send our station some feedback that there needs to be more of a senior presence on the show. Look, Horvat and I go home. We don't do anything. We're curmudgeons. We know everything there is about the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers. You're getting the old guy take with us already.
I'm told no more 90s basketball references. You want me to go 80s, I could do it.
I mean,
man, yeah.
You're getting the old guy references with us. But I think, so the problem might be we're not young enough.
That's what I think.
So we bring in resident young person.
We're about to get real old today. We're lucky.
Evan Heffelfinger.
Not with you, Evan.
The associate producer of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk conglomerate. He joins us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Oh, really?
Yes. Or no, I'm sorry. You were... Oh, God, everything's broken. The button, the red light doesn't turn on, but you're on.
Okay, that confused me a lot.
Okay, all right. Okay. You're what, 23?
I turn 24 next month.
Oh, what day?
The 24th.
Really? It's your golden birthday?
It's my golden birthday. And
Oh, that's a month from today.
Yep. I've been looking forward to that since I think it was fifth grade when my teacher had his golden birthday. I never would have thought 15 years later that it would be during a pandemic. And I will probably celebrate by drinking in my room by myself.
25 shots you got to do, right?
I'll tell you, it's pretty underwhelming, your golden birthday.
Yeah, we really made it to be a huge thing when I was in grade school. But
well, if you're a kid, it's cool.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, numbers. I'm just learning about these. And
I was in college, and people are like, I'm like, it's my golden birthday. And they go, shut up, you loser.
The only golden birthday in college is 21.
Right. Yeah.
Mine
right.
My 21 birthday. 21. My 21st birthday sucked.
Mine, I had 2 beers. Because I was like, I had a midterm the next day. It was a Wednesday. But I had a buddy who came down to UWM and he hung out with me. We got some Chipotle and played some video games. And I had a 2 spotted cows.
Nice. On my 21st birthday, I was in college, but I was actually back home. So we went to this bar called Larson's, which was like the corner bar, you know, and we'd been going there since we were like 17. So I go in there. And I hand the bartender my ID, and I'm like, today's my 21st birthday. I want some free shots. And he goes, 21? You've been coming in here for the last 4 years. So he wouldn't give me any free shots even on my birthday.
Oh, that's a bummer. I made out with my neighbor.
Really?
Oh.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Did you guys have, like, the blossom relationship where you would just, like, not ring her doorbell for some reason, just climb up into her window? Like, what was his name? Did you watch Blossom? Not Joey.
No, I think you're thinking of Clarissa.
Clarissa explains it all.
You're thinking of Ferguson.
Ferguson, thank you. Wow, I'm confusing my shows now.
See a 90s reference. That's old.
Yeah, I could go 80s if you guys want.
So I want to talk to Evan because I think we did talk about this a couple of weeks ago. The first time you realize that not everybody that plays sports is older than you. When you're a kid and you grow up and you love sports and you're watching, like for me, it's like Barry Sanders and Brett Favre and Paul Molitor. It's like you look up to these guys. And some of these guys take on like a father figure, sort of like you look up to them, and they're older than you, the same way you'd look up to a teacher. Once you start to realize you're the same age or older than the guys that are having success at this level, it is very jarring. For me to see a guy do what he did last night, Tyler Hero, 37 points, he wasn't even born in the 90s. Like, you're young, Evan, but at least you were born in the 90s. I can accept that. Tyler Hero was born January 20th, 2000. That's got to be just a harrowing experience for you.
It's very weird. It's not my first time, though. The first time that I had that, like, oh, people are getting drafted that are younger than me was right after I graduated high school. It was the MLB draft, and some dudes were like 17 that were getting drafted. And I was standing in my kitchen cooking some chicken nuggets with an oven mitt on my hand talking to myself. And I took a step back. It's kind of like,
what?
You take a step back and you realize, what am I doing?
What'd you just say?
So I was 18. I was home alone. I was cooking some chicken nuggets and I think some mac and cheese or something. Because, you know, I'm 18.
Where are you?
Looking for like something to eat. Yeah, I had an oven mitt on because I was taking out the chicken nuggets. And I had the oven mitt on and I just started like moving it like it was a puppet. And
then what are you talking about?
That was during the draft. And I remember standing there in my kitchen just thinking, oh, that's why I didn't get drafted. That was my first memory of people being younger than me. But yeah, it's every year.
There's a less embarrassing way to tell that story, but
well,
I appreciate you.
I have no shame.
I know you don't. I like that about you.
This year has been weird though, because this is the first year that we're really seeing people from 2000 moving into professional sports and playing well. So it's weird to see Tyler Hero. I remember, when he was growing up and he was the talk of, you know, everybody around here because he was torching everyone in high school. I remember my high school played him and I was out of school at that time, but I remember talking to people who were still in there and they hated his guts because he was so good and he was so cocky.
What's this thing he does when he makes a basket and he like runs back to the defensive end? He's like talking to himself and he's like,
confidence.
The thing with him is because he's so young and you're on this incredible spot, it does seem like he is in the movie Big. Huh? That's an 80s reference, guys. Okay.
One of my faves.
It seems like he's just like all of a sudden he's been transported and he's this kid playing among men and he's thriving. And it's, you know, when you watch the Bucks and you watch these guys that are like, all right, if Dante DiVincenzo can ascend, if these guys can ascend, we'll draft this guy and hopefully they can ascend. And then you see this guy do what he's doing in Hero.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why do we have to be patient? Why do we have to wait when Tyler Hero is maybe he was the best player on the floor last night.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
But the problem is they had a lottery pick. And we haven't had a lottery pick in a while. And when we did, we didn't use them well. I mean, look at the last couple of lottery picks we had. They were Thon Maker and who else would it have been? Like
Joe Alexander?
Yeah, or Larry Sanders or something. We haven't used them well.
No.
And that's a problem. And we got lucky with Giannis. I don't think anyone will argue with you on that. We got lucky getting him at 15 and lucky that he turned into the guy that he did, but we just don't have the developmental coaches in Milwaukee. At least that's what it seems like. And maybe that's good because that means we're competing, but I don't know. We don't have that kind of young presence on the Bucks right now.
So I've got some news I want to share.
Okay.
You're pregnant?
No.
Congratulations.
No.
Eric's pregnant?
I thought I wasted $50.
Okay.
It turns out I maybe did not because I bought a cardboard cutout for the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, all right, well, they'll show it on TV. Even though it's in the 400s, establishing shots coming back from commercial, they'll show. Oh, they never showed them. Oh, they showed Dan Plesac once because he's on the TV. And then they showed David Gruber 9,000 times. I can pick up my cardboard cutout.
Really?
And keep it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I got a better story.
So Snacks Harrison, we keep doing the should the Packers sign Snacks Harrison thing.
414-799-1250. What do you think of
Snacks Harrison now? So he was contemplating retiring after another injury, but now he's scheduled to visit with the Seattle Seahawks, per source. Adam Schefter has this. Mm. 31 years old. He's also received interest from the Bears, the Bengals, and the Packers. We're in the mix. Hashtag in the mix. I'll post it later. Would you want Snacks Harrison on this team, especially with Kenny Clark dealing with a groin injury, which, you know, those injuries could be lingering? And that is where we end the show, and we tease more tomorrow.
I wish we knew this earlier, because the last time we talked to Clemens on Tuesday, he brought up Snacks, and he said, you don't want that.
Why wouldn't you?
That's why I'd like to ask Mike.
You know who also decided to play, I believe I saw yesterday, was dealing with an injury, but I think he's about healthy now, is Muhammad Wilkerson, too, who I know has had some off-the-field
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
So I would be fine giving either of those guys a workout. Again, Snacks is 31 years old. He's had some injuries in his history. Greatest nickname in all pro sports, in my opinion, Snacks.
Mm.
I would take him, man. I mean, he can't be any worse than Montrevious Adams.
Don't you have a fun nickname, Evan?
How many of them can I say on air?
Isn't there like a really cool one?
Well, I was the chairman of the DJ Wilson fan club.
Aren't you like Pudding Man or something? Pudge?
Pudding Man?
Yeah, you wanted to do something with Pudge.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at the tapes, because I remember there was something. It was like Squirrelsy mix something or something.
Okay.
Let's end it like that.
No, we're gonna end it with this. Tonight, the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer, which does not have Bud Light in it.
You don't have a
Mike Wickett and Doug Russell.
Tonight!
That's returns!
How you do it. No, tonight!
Mike and Doug! Mike and Doug tonight!
They get you red. Oh, that's Drew Burgoyne. I want to give him a shout.
Mike and Doug.
Doug and Mike.
Doug and Mike.
Is it Doug and Mike or Mike and Doug, Joe?
I don't care. Bill, next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.